This week's episode of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by our friends at MyBlue. If you saw any of the content from the last week, we were doing mad vapes, we were blowing mad clouds, and it was all courtesy of our friends at MyBlue. MyBlue makes it easy to find simple and delicious and convenient ways to vape. They're the ones who actually brought vaping to the world, so they know all about it. They have these new one-click pods that you can switch between flavors in just seconds. I personally like the cherry and vanilla. Big Cat and PFT were big fans of the gold leaf tobacco. They liked it all, and the best part about it is that you can spend 20 minutes on the charger, and you're set all day. There's a free limited lifetime warranty called MyCare. Head over to MyBlue.com and check out their $1 trial offer for their MyBlue kit. Check out MyBlue.com for details. You guys are going to love it. And you're also going to love this episode of Zero Block 30 where we're going to do Platoon Room. Let's fucking go.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the...
I'm back in New York with the whole squad. The entire squad is here. Captain Cons is here. Kate is here. PFC Bren is here. We are getting ready to do a little episode of Platoon Room. We are just going to go straight into the business, kind of like our good friend the Navy Chaplain.
He went straight into that business.
Straight in.
So if you haven't heard, I'm going to read this. This is from The Hill. A Navy chaplain was fired in March after being caught on video having what the French call sex in a public place at New Orleans bar, according to the USA Today. Captain Thornton, a chaplain since 1992, lost his job on March 20th and is now under investigation for the incident that took place in a British-style pub. The Defense Department officials are now reviewing the video of the encounter of the pub owner said took place outside near the road just 5 miles from the city's Marine Reserve.
This chaplain fucks.
He fucks. The chaplain fucks. But I also want to say, I think an underrated part of this is that the bar owner is the one who narked him out.
Maybe he's trying to get publicity for his bar.
That's not the type of publicity you want for
your
bar.
Well, I guess they, as they say...
That's like the opposite.
No, bad publicity is still publicity.
No, I disagree when it comes to bars. Like, if you're a bar owner, I feel like you have to have a gentleman's code. Like, if there's some fucking... Or a lady's code, if you're a lady bar owner. Like, a shout-out to our friend that's in, like, outside of Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Woman bar owner.
Yep.
Like, if you're like that, I feel like you need to keep things under wraps. It's yours. Unless there's, like, a violence of action type of situation, you keep it under wraps.
Maybe he was an atheist.
Do you think this guy kept it under wraps?
Oh, no way.
No,
because
no way,
the
right?
Chaplain doesn't go out planning to fuck, I don't think.
No.
I think the chaplain goes there expecting just to have a couple beers and then go home. I don't think he ends up thinking he's going to be a fucking...
Yeah, but that's just what happens in New Orleans. You guys have been to New Orleans?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Well, chaps, you know the deal. I mean, it's basically the last spot in America where there's just complete lawlessness. It feels like you can walk around on the streets with drinks. You walk in and like there's a bar with a strip club right next to it, and it just alternates bar, strip club, and it's just wild. So I feel like in New Orleans, this isn't that uncommon for something like this to happen.
It's definitely not uncommon, maybe with a chaplain, but I want to break down some of the military terms in here because we have you, Captain Cons, mm-hmm. Captain 03, mm-hmm. Navy Captain 06.
That's a little bit higher.
So that would be the equivalent to every other branch of services, Colonel.
Right.
So you're talking about a battalion level. This isn't just some small fry dude. And since 1992, you're talking about 26 years of service
right.
as a chaplain. And before a chaplain, to break down what a chaplain has to do, they go to college. Then they go to their seminary school. They get ordained by whatever branch of religion that they're going to be. And then they go become a chaplain.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about at least 7 years of schooling prior to becoming a chaplain. This is a long-term investment
right.
to be there. And 26 years ended because he fucked a bad bitch outside of a bar in New Orleans. Like a couple
on
miles
a picnic
outside.
Table, might I add, by
and
the
it's
road.
It's all because the bar owner.
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah.
the only that's fucked up.
The snitch aspect of it is a little tough to swallow,
now,
I must say.
I don't think that they would fire him unless, and none of these stories have mentioned it, he's married.
Yeah, so that's just a bad look altogether.
And for those that don't know, you can get, like, criminal charges pushed on you in the military
right.
if you just cheat on your spouse.
Right, UCMJ, as
yeah,
we
little,
have said before, is much
adultery.
Tougher.
Yeah.
Goddamn
Jodies.
Fucking Jodies, exactly right, Brad.
I just, you know, and then how intoxicated does one have to be to engage in sexual intercourse in public?
Yeah, I feel like you, if you're getting it, actually getting it on, I feel like you're not going to be that drunk, because for the fellas especially, if you get too drunk,
that's what I'm saying.
Work.
Like yeah. Maybe, you know, some feeling underneath the pants of, as chaps, as you've blogged in recent times.
And Kate.
And, yeah. And Kate, true, yes, yeah, and Kate.
HJ.
Yeah, you know, a little OTPH, HJs. That I could see happening in the bar. That probably happens in bars across America every weekend, every day. Even.
Yes.
But to have, you know, full-blown intercourse these days when people have phones with cameras and can record such instances,
my only other thought is that the guy is a Catholic chaplain.
Okay.
And he's not supposed to be doing it anyways.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
But lest we forget, there was a time period where the Pope said that hell didn't exist.
So yeah. He was taking full advantage.
If he's a Catholic chaplain, and he read that article and immediately started go get drunk
like,
in New Orleans.
Here we go.
I would
Let's
too.
Let's go. Let loose.
I mean, if the Pope clears you hot, I feel like you got to go.
He's
out
on
there
the range, cleared hot.
Yeah. Black Bass area all secure. Fucking get that rocket out.
Really just unfortunate. It just seems like the Navy keeps taking L's, too. Really unfortunate.
I don't think that's taking an L. I think that's taking a W.
I mean,
if the chaplain's getting it, he's usually the last person to get laid. That's usually what they get. Do you have any experiences with chaplains?
Yeah, you know, it was actually really weird. When I was on deployed and, you know, very remote outpost, we had a chaplain come by, and I did one-on-one Easter Mass. Just sat there, and the priest.
I know you what you're doing. You're saying this because you know your mom and dad listening. They want you. Do you want them to think you're just the good Catholic boy?
I am a good Catholic boy. But that was the most awkward interaction I've ever had with a priest. And this coming from a guy who was an altar boy for 5 years. So.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Things are starting to make sense.
That's problematic. Let's open the trust tree. Come on in.
No, nothing like that. But it was super awkward to just sit across from a table and speak to a priest one-on-one having Mass.
It's very awkward. Did you experience any chaplains while you're deployed? Oh, in states, they don't really matter.
No, I don't really. No. I didn't see
you're
one
just
really
like, hey,
in
what's
states.
Up, chaplain? Yeah. Throw him a salute. And
well, I did at Paris Island boot camp. I went to Catholic Mass every Sunday because it was like, I'm not very religious, but like I got
that
out.
Was a way to
you
get
got
out.
To get
Everyone
out.
Is religious at boot camp.
Yeah. And so at the very end, they did confession. And I was like, I've just been through boot camp and I'm a new person and I'm just going to tell this guy everything. So I was like, so I was blowing lines at college, like blah, blah, blah. Like,
and I didn't even say it on my application to get in the Marines.
I just like said everything. And when I was done, he was just like looking at me with saucer eyes. And I was like, oh, maybe that was a little overboard. Oh, whoops.
Did I overshare?
Yeah.
Everybody is super religious at boot camp, though.
Oh, yeah. I was drinking the Kool-Aid.
And for us, it's because you get like an hour and a half away from your drill instructors. If you go, you're like, oh yeah, I want to go to religious studies.
Do you get anything? Do you get anything else besides, or just go to the service?
No, so
like cookies afterwards or something.
You have lay recruits. Did you have lay recruits?
What's that?
So like, if you at night, whenever you after you get done chugging your canteen of water. And you have all your shit, the drill instructors will let different groups of like religions gather in like corners and you'd have like nighttime prayer. We called them lay recruits.
I don't think we did.
Really? I was the lay recruit because when I joined, I wanted to be a preacher. Mm-hmm. So I was like super religious still, and I was the one leading the prayers. And our drill instructor would come over, Staff Sergeant Wiley would come over and hang out with us, and we would do a little bit of prayer time. But you also knew that you were going to get out of doing stuff, and that's the main reason why you – it didn't have anything to do with Jesus. You just wanted to get away and not have to be
tired
of
getting
for like
yelled
an hour.
At. Yeah. Sure.
Like, I'm going to go sit here on this hard wooden bench and just listen to the dude. And then you're singing and you're doing all kinds – it is a really big –
You were leading
escape.
This group in sing-song?
Oh, I wasn't singing, no.
Oh, okay.
But at church on Paris Island.
I used to play guitar and sing at church all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Nerd alert.
Nerd alert.
What's your favorite Jesus song?
Ooh. There's a couple. There's ones that I really like looking back now that I haven't gone to church in a long time. the ones that my grandfather did, because my grandfather was a pastor for like 45 years.
Cool. Yeah.
So now I think of his super deep, like bass voice that he would sing these Southern gospel type of hymns. And like my favorite one, I'm mockingly sing it to my daughters all the time. I'll be like, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross.
Oh.
It's the emblem of suffering and shame. And I would
Jesus.
Go over, over. It's so sad. And then there's another one that sounds like it's a Mary Poppins song, where
okay.
it's like, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace, forgive me, wider than the snows of my transgressions.
So do you just sing these to your children apropos of nothing, out of nowhere?
Yeah. My grandfather, I used to love it whenever we would ride together, and he would put his hand like on my leg with the Charlie horse spot.
Okay.
And he would squeeze it and be like, cow's got your corn or
right.
something.
Yeah.
And then I would like
squirm. Classic grandpa move.
Classic grandpa move. And I do it to my daughter and I'll be like, what is it? And that's what he used to say all the time. Classic grandpa joke. My favorite story probably about my grandpa of all time. Southern Baptist pastor for 50 mm-hmm. years, like damn near 50 years, and loved his wife, loved his kids. We were riding together in Tallahassee because he took me to my first like Florida State game because I grew up a Florida State Seminole fan. Picked me up from school, drove me to Tallahassee. My aunt and uncle lived there, and he wanted to take me to the game. And he was like, I want you to know, son, like me and your Nana are thinking about moving to Tallahassee to be closer to Lori, my aunt. And they had like other grandkids and everything. And I was like, well, that makes sense if he wants to retire, move out here. And he's like, but the problem is everything's so much more expensive than where we live outside of Jacksonville, which I knew that's true. It's a capital
right.
city, so it is going to be a little bit more expensive. And he was like, the big problem is I can't find a house with enough land where I can beat my wife or my neighbors on here.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, what? And I was probably 13 years old. And he just lost it laughing. And he just looked at me. He was like, what is it? And he had this super baritone. He's like a hellfire and brimstone type of preacher was the kind of guy that he was. 5'7", silver white hair, typical Southern pastor look, would like bounce on his heels when he was preaching. So him saying that absolutely blew my mind. And he just lost it, like cracking up. He's like, you want to go buy a bike? And I was like, yeah, let's go buy a bike. Bought me a bike, threw it in the truck, and we went home.
Phew.
Yeah.
That's probably the most odd thing for me growing up, when you'd see other religions and their pastors could be married and, you know, assuming, you know, live a pretty normal life, because coming from being a Catholic, you see the priest, he's like celibate, not married. So it was just always very odd to see that.
Yeah, and I think it's even more odd when you know they start out so young. I think that's
yeah.
one of the most shocking parts of Gran Torino.
Yeah.
When Gran Torino, when the pastor's there,
yeah,
and
yeah.
he's dealing
that's
with Clint.
That's a great movie, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's, that was, I started drinking exclusively PBR for like 3 years.
After Clint.
I was like,
on your front porch.
If it's good enough for him. I didn't call anybody a zipperhead, but...
I will say that the racial slurs in that movie were something else, but that
yeah.
was a different
I'm not going
to
say that I didn't call my dog a zipperhead from time to time, like if I had too many. But I think she was okay with it.
No, but you're right. Like in that movie, that the priest, he was like a young kid, and he's like, what are you telling me that I don't already know about life?
Yeah, man. I mean, bringing it back to that chaplain that was outside, he just – you never know when those type of situations are going to arise.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do, you got to hope that you're wearing good underwear, like our friends from Tommy John's. Tommy John is the best pair of underwear that you'll ever find, and that's a guarantee. They're going to give you your money-back guarantee. They have shirts that don't move anywhere. They have wedgie-proof underwear that is so great. I'm actually wearing some right now, and I love them. They are where I go, because if I do something that I'm sweaty, like when I went out to the Riverwalk, it was hot as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I already had my stuff packed. I didn't want to go back home. I only had a certain amount of underwear, but some of them are Tommy John's. You can throw them in the sink with a little bit of shampoo, and they're good while you're on the road. It's pretty nice. It feels like I'm on deployment with actually Silkies, like,
ooh.
But it's
ooh.
A better version of Silkies. Shout out to Silkies. Words cannot do Tommy John's justice. You got to try these on for yourself. They're the best pair that you'll ever get, guaranteed. Hurry to TommyJohn/chaps. That's TommyJohn/chaps for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/chaps for 20% off the most comfortable items that you can ever imagine on your body, on your buttocks, or all your ball sack. Only at TommyJohn.com/chaps. All right, we have some mailbag questions, right?
We have a couple mailbags.
All right, so I thought that we had mailbag pictures like in the group chat, but it's just me shirtless standing next to Francis.
Which you'll see soon enough.
That's a nice little teaser. You'll see it's going to involve me, Francis, and DJ Polly D from Jersey Shore Frame, which I'm sure everybody expected to hear at some point in this podcast.
It was only a matter of time.
It was. Super nice guy. And he took off this chain that had to be like a $80,000.
Yeah, I saw all his jewelry that he was wearing. It was fairly expensive looking.
Yeah, and he's like, do you need to take anything else? I was like, my belt's leather, so I guess.
All right, I got fancy. The first mailbag question right here. For the platoon room, what is one thing, other than Tommy John underwear, of course, what is one thing that you didn't bring on a deployment that you wish that you had?
Wow. That's a good question.
That is a good question.
I guess it's a good question because you just seem to really make do with what you do have.
Yeah.
You're not thinking like, I really wish I had this. Because I kind of felt like I had everything I needed. Because, you know, the comforts of home are just really non-existent there, so.
Oh, okay. So we'll switch to what did you have shipped to you when you got to country? Because I feel like people had those. One of my things that I did, when I was on Camp Fallujah, we built this little Quonset hut that we stayed, so we didn't have to stay in the can. So we basically built a fucking house out of like spare wood and everything. And then I put two of the big Connex boxes together, like that you would send dog gear in, and just put a twin mattress on it. So I had my family send me a blanket, and it was just like a twin size. It was a Simpsons blanket that had all the characters of the Simpsons on it, and I had like a nice pillow, and that changed like the course of my deployment. Having a nice blanket.
That with the pillow, along the lines of the pillow thing, on my first deployment, we were out in Marja with the infantry, and all we had was those little green cots sleeping on the ground. And we didn't have pillows, and I'm a double pillow lady. I need my pillows.
Double pillow guy.
So I was just like putting clothes and bags under my head. Well, I must have mentioned something to my parents, and my aunt, who worked at Villanova, shout out to Villanova.
Yeah.
She got this campaign going, and they ended up sending like 60 pillows over from Villanova, had like a pillow drive. And so the packages.
Imagine just Kate just laying on 60 pillows.
Yeah. And two, the logistics to get them out there, they have the supply convoys that only came every few weeks. They were like, you motherfucker. Like, it took up so much space.
Oh, yeah.
But the guys were pretty. That was a good way. But yeah, I was super happy to have a pillow.
Yeah, maybe because I had, you know, a paper thin mattress. So maybe one of those like egg crate type foam. Things you put on top of your mattress would have been nice.
Anything that enhances sleeping or comfort.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think that's it.
So if you have that, like, I would have loved to have a fresh pair of socks every day. Because, I mean, even now, putting on a new fresh pair of socks is incredible now. It feels so good.
Agreed.
Also, like, having new and really good hygiene products really is nice.
I was going to say
even with a little bit of like perfume added, because you can get like just the Ivory soap or whatever.
Sure.
But just the difference of having like Irish Spring.
You feel cleaner.
Because you smell nothing but, I don't know if it's offensive to say it or not, but fuck it. Fallujah smells like dead fish.
Yeah.
Like it just does. And I think it's because there's so many dead humans around.
Right.
Like at the time that it just smelled like dead fish. I remember specifically one story. I don't know if I've told this on the podcast. But when you don't have Marines who had deployed before where I was at, because I worked as an MP, I only worked really like on the road, as we would call it, for probably 3 months of my entire career.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one night I was like the platoon commander for the shift that was working, and we got a call that somebody got hit by a train. And it just came over the radio. It was from Prince William County, which was up the road. And I was like, Roger that, got it. We'll go check it out. I was thinking it was a car that got hit by a train.
Right.
Well, it turned out it was a young Marine who killed himself just laid on the tracks, had a fresh haircut. I opened the door when we stopped at the train tracks, and as soon as I opened the door, I looked at the sergeant next to me. I was a staff sergeant at the time. I looked at the sergeant next to me. I was like, somebody's dead. And he was like, how do you know? I was like, I could smell it.
Yeah.
And he was like, he looked at me like I was an insane person when I said that. And we walked up the tracks like 15 feet and found the body. And he was like, how the fuck did you know it? I was like, now that you smelt that,
you'll never unsmell it.
Yeah.
Very distinct.
You'll know what it smells like.
Yeah.
And so you're used to smelling that position, especially if you did like a job that had like battle damage assessment or anything like that, where you're looking at bodies, looking for bodies. There's IEDs around. As a dog handler, I'm constantly looking for IEDs. So I'm also looking for people who plant those IEDs, and a lot of aren't very skilled. So they they blow themselves up too.
Yeah.
So you smell that smell a lot. But if I was going back now, I would just have my family. That all being said, send me some DollarShaveClub.com stuff. Dollar Shave Club has the razor, shave butter, shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, everything you need to look and feel your best. I get amazing high-quality shave. I actually am shaved. I cleaned up my own shave that my expensive-ass barbershop fucked my beard up. I had to go home, spent $50 on a fucked-up haircut, a fucked-up beard trim, and had to do it all myself. Luckily, I had a smorgasbord of DollarShaveClub.com stuff at my house.
That if you're listening... best. You just had the privilege of hearing the darkest Dollar Shave Club intro of all time. Holy shit.
Yeah, but it, when
but
it
your
cleaned
beard
it
does
up,
look
yeah.
good. Your beard does look good.
I'm not saying that DollarShaveClub.com's products really do cover up the stench of death, but if you stink, you could also use their One White Butt Charlie's to cover up the smell of your shit and flush that down the potty. Dr. Carver Shave Butter is fantastic. I just said potty as a grown-ass man.
I love
my
the word
children
potty.
Aren't here. I could have said toilet. And shout out to that toilet. How much does that one swallow? Since DollarShaveClub.com delivers everything to you, you don't have to set foot in a store or set foot into the Haji shop or wherever you're at deployed-wise if you send them there. You can get the Daily Essential Starter Kit for just $5 with free shipping. You'll get the 6-blade executive razor plus trial size of shave butter, body cleanser, One White Butt Charlie's. Then keep the blades coming for a few bucks a month. Speaking of your next month, for a limited time only, use the code CHAPS at checkout to get $5 off your second month, too. So first and second, that's so cheap that you can send it to an FPOAP address. The code is CHAPS at DollarShaveClub.com for your second month. Join the club today. What's our second question?
Well, just I know he's such a nice guy, and I don't think he would be capable of sending a strongly worded email, but I think I would expect one from Stephen Che, our ad ops guy, after that ad read.
Dollar Shave Club smooths out the pain of death.
Right. But Dollar Shave Club, like, man, I wish I had that deployed.
I mean, military members, you would want that.
Yeah, like, I would definitely, definitely subscribe to Dollar Shave Club if I was deployed.
Everything that comes in that shave kit, the starter kit,
is the best.
You would want. You would want the One White Butt Charlie's a million times mm-hmm. out of a million. Mm-hmm. You would want the lotion a million times because it's so dry in the deployed areas. You're so even in the mountains. Like when you're in the mountains, your skin gets so dried out all the time. You would want everything that's in that thing.
Definitely.
And people, I feel like that might be the best ad read we've ever had.
Yeah. It might be. And a quick caveat on that.
Oh, there we go.
It would behoove you to. Yeah. But people always ask me, like, what should I send to my nephew overseas or this or that? Like, that's a great thing to send sign them up for Dollar Shave Club. Yeah. A quick transition. Can I read the next one?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kate.
Just kidding. I outrank you. But this one's from Eli.
It's good feeling to pull rank. Yeah. Now that you're out of the military, yeah. right?
You've been here a month.
True. That's how it works, though. So this is from Eli, and I just wanted to read this one because this guy definitely was in. How about y'all talk about the successful and unsuccessful times that y'all tried to shammed out of the duty day? Yeah, well, I don't quite know.
And I love it because he probably had the nickname of like Tex or something.
Yeah,
or something
100%.
Like he was there. But getting out of duty day is an art and a skill. Connor doesn't know anything about this.
Yeah, sucks to suck.
Yeah. So Connor doesn't know anything about this. So
nope.
Kate and I and PFC Bryn will take over from here. So
yeah.
I think people don't understand how bad duty sucks as a junior Marine. So walk us through what a normal duty day, because this is where the logbook comes
this
in.
This is where the logbook.
This is where the logbook starts.
May it be noted in the log.
So Kate, you are duty NCO for the day. What does your day look like?
Basically, you are chained to the barracks. You have a little tiny duty hut. You have to walk around. If a higher rank comes in, you have to jump up and report to them and let them know that nothing's going on. You have to note every little thing in the logbook, and you're there for 24 hours.
Do you remember what you say? Do you remember your spiel?
No, you are crazy good at this stuff. What is it?
Okay.
The stuff you remember, I am impressed.
Yes.
All right,
the stuff
so
you do
like,
remember.
If the phone rings, good morning, sir, man. This is Staff Sergeant Company by Military Working Dog, and I actually don't
remember. You said your real last name.
Yeah, go back. yeah. I don't think I do remember that. I remember my speeches, like for by being like showing up with a military working dog. I remember those speeches,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't have to serve many duty days because I was so good at getting out of it.
Well,
how'd you get out of it?
I mean, a lot of times because I was a single father. Like, I used that card a ton, like with my first sergeant, and that none of my Marines cared, and because I was always like a higher billet than like the same rank as people who were the same rank as me, so I would just make them do it.
I'd be right.
Like, no, you're going to do it, and that's the end of it. And
yeah,
I always got fucked. I always had to, I'd be like, hey, I have a trip coming up this weekend, so just a heads up, or like I'd tell them like 2 months out, and that would be the weekend that I would have duty. And then I remember the one time I was on duty, I was like brand new. So I'm sitting in the little duty hut. I have my Charlies on, and this sergeant comes up to me and he's like, hey, I need $20. Something came up, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, oh, okay, sergeant, here you go. Like, you, if you need this, because you're supposed to handle any problems at the barracks. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. And then I see him walk by with like two pizzas and something else. I'm like, son of a bitch. Like, I don't know. But and then on the, especially on the weekends too, when everybody's hammered drunk and like, you don't want to be that guy who like ruins the party, but at the same time, if a higher rank comes through and sees it's like debauchery, like, so. But I would check IDs if they were bringing girls back. I'd be like, let me see if you're, how old you are.
Oh,
let
yeah.
me see your
so
IDs.
So there's certain like, parts that are really fun too.
Yeah.
I liked it when I was the company gunner sergeant. I used to love going through the barracks. And yeah. Like, looking back now, I was the Blue Falcon that you explained the other day.
Yeah.
I was all about fucking my Marines up, like to the point where. I'm sure they all hated me. I get messages from Marines who used to work for me.
Yeah.
That they were like, I've listened to Zero Block 30 almost since it started, and I didn't put together that you were my company because you
oh,
seem so different.
They're oh,
like,
that's
I
so
know
great.
The voice. I know a lot of these stories, but I didn't put it together. And that I was, because I was so much more mean. Like,
yeah.
I would knock on their doors at like 5 o'clock in the morning and be like, open up, bitch, room inspection.
Yeah.
And they would be like, God. And then I would go back and be like, why are you here so early? Like, just did room inspection. So that looked great. My first sergeant loved it.
Sure.
He was like, so my our company gunny, I was only supposed to be the company gunny for like 3 weeks because our company gunny went to go, OCS was also at Quantico. Mm-hmm. So they would take anybody that was a drill instructor to supplement in the summer because they had way more officer candidates come through the summer than they do in the wintertime. So if you're a drill instructor on Quantico, you had like a secondary billet of going to be at OCS and just helping out there. So I filled that role, and I was only supposed to do it for 3 weeks. I was such an asshole and so good at being an asshole that that gunny came back. He was an actual gunnery sergeant. I was a sergeant. He's like, you're going to the road. Saying, fuck!
No! That's why you never do go full good job. Oh, shit!
Hold on. Let's start here.
So, yeah.
So whatever we just started, we just gonna keep all of these, all the claps.
I had to do one too.
There we go.
Okay, so cons, you lived in a barracks at some point, right? You have
well,
to as your training and everything.
College. I mean, we call it the barracks in college. Yeah. But that's the extent of
ooh,
barracks in the military.
That's the reason why I hate the Air Force.
Why?
They call it dorms.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. We live in the barracks.
That shit fucking triggers me.
Yeah.
When I got, because I went from being like the super ate up company gunny to Lackland, where I went to be the chief Marine instructor at the dog school. When I got there and they were like, I left my stuff in my dorm. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, when they call it a dorm, like, you're not in college, dude. It's a barracks.
Yeah. One thing, though, that, like, really infuriates a lot of cadets is that a lot of athletes will get out of the duties that you would have to do as a plebe, as a freshman, like delivering laundry, cleaning, because it always happens, like,
after
the school day is over, we're up at practice. So I never had to do any of those BS activities that kind of like shape who you are as a cadet and, you know, kind of make you a little angry and maybe why some of those guys grow up to be jerks to the younger kids.
But I'm sure that there's a little bit of hazing that goes on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely,
like the West
yeah.
West Point football players, too. Like, there's
different kind of hazing.
Yeah.
We won't get into
always,
that.
No.
I love hazing.
Yeah.
Everybody always shits on hazing. I think hazing is an invaluable part of becoming engulfed into the military life.
If you do it right.
Yes. I don't think that you should be mean. Like,
no.
It shouldn't be a mean-spirited thing where you're, like, waterboarding people.
No.
Or you're causing them intense emotional scarring. But I don't think there's anything wrong. In fact, I think it's fucking awesome that whenever you take a pilot's wings and you shove them the shit into somebody's chest.
Sure.
I love the fact.
Oh,
dude,
I'm glad you said chest because there's.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you think hazing and shoving things is usually
there's
one
not,
place.
I don't think you should shove anything up anybody's orifices.
No.
But if you shove it into their chest, I think that's great. I think there's.
Slight embarrassment's okay.
Yeah. And there's a difference between trying to damn near cripple somebody if they get their blood stripes when they first pick up corporal and hitting them in the chevron where it goes into their collarbone, right. Mm-hmm. or punching them in the shoulder. If you're trying to really break somebody, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
If it's just like, hello, you're here, congratulations, it's something that you enjoy. I enjoyed that aspect. In fact, I picked a person to pin staff sergeant on me, a first sergeant and a staff sergeant who I knew would do it because I wanted them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when my first sergeant and staff sergeant pinned them into my chest that way, our colonel looked at them like they were fucked up. And I was like, that's what I wanted, sir.
Right, right.
And he was cool with it because he was like a Penn State football guy too. And he was an I didn't want
I remember you telling me about him. But there's also different sorts of hazing too. There's like physical hazing. Like, you know, I was in a cavalry unit. And when you're in a cav unit, you got to earn your spurs that you can then wear with your uniform. You don't just like go out and buy them at the store. You got to earn them.
Real spurs?
Real spurs. I have real spurs that spin and everything.
I will admit.
What?
Yeah. I will admit. If that uniform is the overarching uniform of the Army, you would have an argument. You could become in the conversation that that is on par with dress blues.
Oh, yeah. I want to see these stats.
Yeah, caveat, and I have a Stetson hat
like,
as well.
What? It's like, correct me if I'm wrong, it's what Hal Moore wore and We Were Soldiers. That's their dress more uniform,
Yeah.
Badass.
But so in order to get your spurs, you go on what's called a spur ride, and you know you undergo what would be considered hazing, but it's just a lot of physical endurance type stuff overnight, you know, a long period of time. But you really appreciate that tradition and that piece of your uniform that you're then allowed to wear, you know, usually at dress opportunities when you're in your dress blues or on Fridays when everyone's wearing their Stetsons. It's pretty cool.
And I think that the physical aspect of hazing is okay because this isn't a job where you're accounting.
No. Like, when you need to be physically accountable.
When you're a Marine or you're a soldier or you're whoever, that's a physical job.
Right.
That pain is part of the process.
Right. Just like if you're an accountant, you go get a CPA. If you're in the military, well, you got to be able to walk really far. You got to be able to lift things. You got to be able to be strong.
You can't have as your slogan before you go to boot camp, pain is weakness leaving the body, and then not apply pain.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Pain is part of that process.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that I think, like I said, you shouldn't be waterboarding or anything like that. But the idea that the military has gone to where if a young kid fucks up, like we did with PFC Brent,
push
him, slap him around a little bit.
A lot of Marine, even Marine units, you'll get in trouble if you do that.
That's terrible.
I think, though, that's because the hazers themselves, like, it's because too many people didn't know how to properly, like, instill discipline like that.
We have Kate, not Geronimo.
Germano. Yes.
So we have Kate next week, not this Kate, but different Kate, coming on to talk about the process in boot camp. And that was one question that I wish I would have asked her.
Yeah.
As a commander, what are her thoughts on extra military instruction? Because I agree with you. I think that that's where we get in on fucking up the process of hazing, is that we don't teach people how to appropriately extra military training.
Mm-hmm.
The principle behind extra military training is to put that pain into somebody's body, but doing it in an appropriate manner.
Right.
Because there is appropriate ways to punish somebody physically.
Go up on the quarterdeck. Go up, yeah.
Right. And that, I think that really does. It's a punishment. You can have the same thing in dog training. You have a positive reward or you have a negative consequence. And if you don't get the positive reward, which sometimes can be nothing, and Marines know that as well. Like, if you do a task for me, if I give you an order to do a task and you don't do it or you do it properly, I don't have to say good job or anything like that. Your reward is me not punishing you.
Yeah.
So, and
that
I think
is true.
That's how you can view it a lot of times. And I think that we don't focus enough on how to properly negative punish someone in a way that puts pain on their body.
Yeah. And ultimately, that pain is going to result in that person becoming a better person. Because if I do 1,000 push-ups like Bren, well, I'm going to get stronger. That's going to make me a better soldier, better Marine.
And I would pick, I mean, the reconnaissance units that I worked for did this way better. Mm-hmm. A guy lost MVGs, which is a huge deal in a combat zone.
Yeah, especially.
It's a big deal to
lose anything, but something that expensive.
And the master sergeant was like, look, you're either going to damn near die or you're going to get demoted and kicked out of the unit. Which one do you want?
Right.
And he was like, I want to die. And so he would running around Camp Fallujah coming in, and I was watching it like the entire time. And I was thinking, holy fuck. This is a whole different military than what I came from with like my MP background, because we didn't do that kind of shit. But the reconnaissance community could keep that under wraps a lot more, and it was something that was still an accepted process. And I feel like when you have that command climate where you can do it, it's a completely different animal altogether.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in a combat zone.
Yeah. And like you said, it doesn't have to be mean. You don't have to scream to get your point across. Your point's getting across just by doing what he's doing.
And you know what? I guarantee you that guy has never lost another set of hits.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Like definitely. Ever. Definitely.
We have any more questions?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got one. This one is from Old Buddy.
Old Buddy.
So shout out Old Buddy. And it's got a ton of acronyms that all I totally know all of them. I had a platoon leader.
Okay.
Abbreviated PL.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Cool.
While we were deployed, that left his M4, that's a gun,
yeah,
unattended in his office.
Can we please start using the proper nomenclature of weapon, but thank you.
Weapon. While he stepped out, the commander came through and saw it there and assembled it to the 10 level. That one, I don't know. That's not an abbreviation, though. That's
it's just like all the way down.
Yeah, from context, I got that.
Right.
My platoon leader didn't know how to put it back together.
Oh.
Had to go grab a private from the Tactical Operations Center
to put
it back together. I totally Googled all of this like 5 minutes ago.
Talk, yeah.
How does this happen, and isn't this proof that every single soldier should go through boot camp, not just enlisted?
Well, that's a real shame to
I'll
hear.
I'll let you take that one,
yeah.
Old guy.
Yeah, not knowing, I don't care what rank you are, you need to be able to assemble, disassemble, and properly maintain your weapon no matter what your rank. So I'd be curious to see or hear where that guy got his commission, because that's very disheartening. And you talk about a way to lose a ton of respect.
Oh, gone.
Yeah, I mean, just not even like, oh, maybe he'll get it back. Like, forget it.
So say let's just say it happens to you. Cause everybody,
oh, my God, I'd leave the military. I'd just desert. I couldn't face my guys.
Everybody could have brain farts.
Like, sure.
And it's more understanding if it's not your TO weapon. So, like, the primary weapon that you use.
Right,
so
like, if I forgot something about putting together an M9.
You
know, M9 or, you know,
right.
A 50 cal.
Something
maybe.
That you don't use. Yeah, like you asked me to do a 50 cal right now, I probably couldn't do
or
it.
Or, like, if you asked me to do headspace and timing. Oh, yeah, I'd be like, all right.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So you put an M4 in front of me right now, I'll take
like
it apart
the very
and put it together.
Basic. M4, M16A2, like, those are the very basic, and they have the same insides.
Right.
It doesn't really matter. But you have those two weapons.
Not that many pieces either.
Right.
It's not that many.
Even if you break down the bolt.
Right, it's not that many pieces. But say, let's just say, on an off chance, you did forget how to do it. Who do you go get?
I would go get one of my battle buddies, another officer. Never in a million years would I go to some private in the TOC and say, hey, I need your help. I need your help. That's walking into the TOC and saying, hey, I'm incompetent. Don't ever listen to anything I say. And run away from me right now.
Pierre, I think you got to go either Pierre or you got to go your platoon sergeant.
And you got to give him like a carton of cigarettes.
Then the platoon sergeant would just say no.
No, he wouldn't. No. A good platoon sergeant would back you up.
Yeah.
He'd help you out. But even platoon sergeant, I'd be embarrassed to go to my platoon sergeant.
Yeah.
I would have to go to another LT.
Yeah.
Or, you know what, these days, if there was no other officer, I'd get on Google. And I would figure that shit
out.
You
could YouTube it, right.
Or I would hide my rifle so no one saw and just hope I never had to go outside the wire.
Just take the punishment that you lost your weapon.
Yeah, lost it. Sorry.
Lost it.
Just throw that shit in the burn pit.
Oh, we found some back here that's in pieces. That's not mine. Somebody put that shit together.
Wait, what's the serial number? I don't know. It's been scraped off.
Somebody put that weapon back together. I got shit to do. I got officer shit to take care.
That's terrible, though. Gosh.
And that's probably the way, if I was the officer that forgot it, I'd be like, hey, Private, come here. Put this weapon back together. I got to go take some officers.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You'd be like, hey, you act like you were about to clean it and then something came up.
Or tell him to clean it.
Right.
Be like, hey, I have some stuff to do. I need this weapon wiped down.
Yeah.
It doesn't. You'd be like, it doesn't have to be like inspection ready. Just get it cleaned up for me.
Yeah.
And they would be like, roger that, sir.
Right.
No problem.
I played one time. We were at camp LSA Anaconda. I think it's called something different now. But
how are you going to do all of that with the command? Like if the commander's in the room. Like, if the commander's standing there and, like, watching you and you can't do it, and, like, if the commander goes to get a private, then there's nothing you can
but
do
he
about
is,
that.
But he was the commander, right?
The commander came across the platoon leader and who had his gun the commander disassembled the platoon leader's gun and then
got a
private to put it back together.
Oh, that's you're just screwed.
Yeah.
You're screwed.
You are just fucked.
Leave the military.
You got to resign your commission.
Yeah. Seriously.
So of that, like, pretending to brush it off and try to fake your way through. It seems impossible in that situation.
I didn't hear the
project. No, that's impossible. No, but I was going to say one time, me and my platoon sergeant, we kept trash talking back and forth who could beat who in basketball. So finally, like, we played one-on-one and the winner or the loser had to clean the winner's gear. So yeah. I beat him, and he had to clean
such
my gear.
Such a common bat.
Yeah.
Rifle range, whoever fits higher, the loser's got to fucking clean
everything. Clean his rifle, yeah. Because, I mean, if you keep up with it, cleaning your rifle is not that hard, but it's still a little bit of a pain in the butt. If you let it go real long, it can get very difficult. But
I don't want to hear it from you. Like, they fucking were difficult from you.
But to Chaps's point, it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon to have someone else clean your gear for you or your weapon.
No, man. All right, we got any more? That's it? All right, so we don't have any more questions for the platoon room, but we do have a new Facebook group. We want to hear from you guys. Last week, whenever we dropped Zero Block 30, we had an idea for segments. If you want to hear any segments, if you want, like, explain... Like PMT, Part of My Take, has explained it to Hank. We have the Barstool Facebook up and ready to go. So if you have any examples of things that you want to know, if we talk about acronyms or talk about military stuff that you don't know about and you want to know about, ask us and we'll explain those things to you. We're also going to have a voicemail line set up by the end of the day. PFC, Bren, we're going to have that set up by the end of today, and we are going to be ready to go. So we want you to call in. We want you to leave stories. I think we could have like a theme. We'll come up with a month-long schedule. We'll say if you have a story about drinking in the barracks, we'll do that one day, and we want to hear from your stories. We'll add you into the conversation. Turn this bitch into the real-life VFW. Get drunk on the drunk stories. Tell us the drunk stories, and we'll post them on the show. We hope you guys have a good week. We'll see you back next week. Hope you enjoyed the platoon room as much as we do giving it to you. Sound the retreat.